The CIA did something everyone should be talking about, but nobody is. We are going to talk about that extensively here in a minute. Congressman Greg Stubbe's here, January 6th political prisoners. We have one of their lawyers. All that and more is coming up tonight on I'm Right. I understand why some people are out on politics. And just stay with me a moment. We're going to get into this Biden stuff, the CIA stuff, the corruption of our system. But what's our goal? We talk about it all the time. Your goal, my goal. Our goal is to wake up Normie Norm and to get him involved, right? So we can take back this country. Start legal, local, we take back the country. That's our goal. And I know that if you've been trying to do that, that you've experienced frustration from time to time. Probably some wins and some losses. Some people can't seem to wake them up. Well, wake up. And a lot of people, they are aware of the problems that we bring them, and they don't want to get involved to fix it. And I understand that. I do. Part of the reason I understand it is when you really take in the depth of corruption in our government, it's hard to unwrap. It's hard to wrap your mind around fixing it. The level of collaboration with each other to lie to you and to protect themselves, it's beyond belief. It's essentially this. We're about to get into the Biden CIA stuff. This is what it is. You know I make a cheeseburger, right? Let's say you busted your butt for years and years and years and years and years on a cheeseburger recipe, and you have come up with the greatest cheeseburger ever. And you and me, we're going into a cheeseburger competition. You against me. It's going to be a taste test. And to do this taste test, we're bringing in the most prestigious food tasting organization in the world. They are coming in and they're going to judge your burger and they're going to judge my burger. And we go sit down and you've been busting your butt on your burger. And man, my burger just smokes you. The judges all agree that my burger is way better than your burger. Your burger sucks. Jesse's the best. And you're mad and disappointed, and then you find out afterwards that all the judges are on my payroll. That's what it feels like to be an American right now. Did you hear the latest from David Weiss? David Weiss, you know, the special counsel, the guy investigating Hunter Biden for his endless crimes, the crimes he committed on behalf of his father. Remember, these are Joe Biden's crimes. It's Joe Biden's family. Hunter Biden works for Joe, not vice versa. Joe Biden's crimes. So David Weiss, the guy who's supposed to be going after him as special counsel. Well, before that, he was supposed to be going after him as just part of the DOJ, and he wasn't planning on doing anything to him. We know now, according to a whistleblower, until a whistleblower came out and said, there are crimes here. He essentially got shamed and embarrassed for looking into him at all. What does that mean? Well, the Department of Justice in the United States of America sent a guy after Hunter Biden, whose job it was to cover up Hunter Biden's crimes. Talk about paying off the judges in the cheeseburger competition. But let's set all that stuff aside, because I want to jump into this story here that should have every American everywhere stopping and demanding action and demanding answers. And instead, I would guess there's a good chance you have either only heard this story in passing or haven't heard this story at all. And if you did hear it, it was mentioned in passing and then everybody moved right along. But the implications of what I'm about to tell you are so jaw-dropping and so dangerous and scary. So let's lay it out. Here's the deal. COVID came, we all know that. We were all trying to figure out exactly what should be done, how do we treat it, and who's responsible for this? Okay, so this is a new virus, supposedly. Is somebody responsible? Is this a bioweapon from somewhere? Is this some naturally occurring thing that does happen, or is this something, some fruitcake cooked up in a lab? What is going on? And we, Americans, we turned to the Central Intelligence Agency for some help. For some answers. Where did this virus come from? And a nation, its people, its government, should be able to turn to the largest, wealthiest, most powerful spy agency in the world for for answers on things like this and many other things. We should be able to rely on our foreign intelligence agency to gather accurate information and bring it to us so we can digest exactly what we're doing. Well, it was a 7-man commission to dig into the origins of coronavirus. 6 of them, when it was done, came back and said, definitely came from a lab, guys. 6 of the 7. 6 of the 7 came back, all came to the same conclusion. Hey, we dug into this, came from a lab. But you never got that report from the CIA. And do you know why you never got that report from the CIA? Because the 7th person on that 6-man crew, if we're to believe the whistleblower, paid the 6 people in the CIA to change their opinion on where the virus came from a lab to some kind of natural occurrence. The CIA paid, bribed its own agents so they would lie about where COVID came from. Now let's pause on this for a moment, because there are only 3 possibilities here, the way I see it, and I've been brewing on this all morning, and all 3 of them are horrific. Quite frankly, I don't know what one is worse. So let's deal with situation A, because what's most important here is not even what they did, where COVID came from, where it didn't come from. I mean, not saying that doesn't matter, but that's not the most important thing here. The most important thing is exactly what are we dealing with at the highest levels of the Central Intelligence Agency. Either A, they're paid off by the communists directly in China. Are people at the Central Intelligence Agency now flat out on China's payroll? So if China wants some findings, or some non-findings, I should say, the CIA will agree? Do we have a Central Intelligence Agency that has been compromised by our number one foreign adversary? Can our foreign adversary call up our CIA agents and tell them, hey, that virus? No, it wasn't found in a lab. Here's a couple extra Benjamins in your bank account. Tell people it was found in a wet market or something. That's option A. Frightening, right? Frightening. Oh, wait, they don't get any better. Option B is the man involved in this also was involved with a lot of the Russian collusion hoax stuff. One of these deep state people whose name you wouldn't even know. Was this an effort by America's Democrats, by America's communists, to ensure Trump could pass no blame onto COVID? Because all this took place while Donald Trump was president. Was this to make sure Democrats could win the next election? Remember, it helped Democrats to win the election if we couldn't assign blame for COVID to China. We wanted to blame the Democrats, the media, the system wanted to blame every part of COVID on Donald Trump so he would lose the election. Do CIA agents work directly for Democrat activists now? So they'll change findings hoping to influence the outcome of an election? That's option 2. Scary, right? Oh, the 3rd one isn't any better. Option 3 is this. Do our CIA agents, do they work on behalf of the pharmaceutical companies, the medical institutions in this country? We know now from several undercover videos, courtesy of groups like Project Veritas and others, that groups like the FDA have admitted they're paid off by pharmaceutical companies and food companies to come to this finding, approve this, don't approve that. We understand this high-level bribery scheme exists. Do the spies we have, the people who are supposed to be protecting this nation at the Central Intelligence Agency, do they have a direct deposit from Pfizer? I told you there were no good scenarios. You see, you can read the headline of a story like this, CIA changes its story on something for some money, and you can roll your eyes, shrug your shoulders, and move right along. And there are a bunch of other stories to talk about, don't get me wrong. But when you actually read that story and take in what it means, take in just how stacked against you the cheeseburger contest is, how in the world are you supposed to begin in your mind unraveling all we have here? And remember, this lie that COVID didn't come from a lab, which is such a bizarre lie, right? Why is that so difficult to say? Yet they were so adamant about it. We're not just talking about the CIA. Media demanded that it didn't come from a lab.
And then there's this theory, widely debunked. This paper from two Chinese researchers that says it is plausible that the virus leaked accidentally from one of two labs near the Wuhan seafood market.
Coronavirus was man-made in a lab in Wuhan, China. And yet this week, Donald Trump is still pushing the debunked bunkum, despite his own intelligence community's findings that that is simply not true.
The Wuhan lab, we know that it's been debunked that this virus was man-made or modified or anything like that.
Those same agencies now have been tapped with investigating one of Trump world's most favorite conspiracy theories.
Tom Cotton, one of Donald Trump's staunchest allies in the Senate, suggested that the virus might have originated in a high-security biochemical lab in China. In the 1980s, I remember when the far left trafficked in rumors about HIV having been invented in CIA labs. The far right has now found its own virus conspiracy theory.
I could have played 3 hours of video of various parts of the system, from doctors to media people, insisting that it's some crazy nutball theory that the virus came from a lab. Well, that was bad enough on its own, but when you consider the Central Intelligence Agency was part of this lie, I'm starting to get a pretty good image of just how deep the rabbit hole goes with the system, aren't you? All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. In an age of information, we can't trust anything at all. Now, speaking of disinformation, misinformation, there's been a lot of it out there about those dangerous insurrectionists from January 6th. Ooh, pretty scary people. Let's talk to one of their lawyers in a moment. There's also a bit of misinformation out there you need to be aware of, and you really need to be aware of this. There's this way of thinking where people think their dog's food has nutrition in it. We believe that. We see all the nutritional information on it, and it says something on the cover for sensitive stomachs or something like that, and we think, oh, this is a special blend. Muffy's gonna love this. But there's no nutrition in dog food. None of it. That's why it's all brown. It's all dead. Dead things are brown. Live things, things that are alive, are green. Pour rough greens on your dog's food. It's an all-natural nutritional supplement. Your dog will live longer and live better. Healthier years with your dog because your dog's finally getting nutrition. Don't fall for the misinformation. Go get a free bag. They give you a free bag. All you pay for is the shipping to start you off. All you have to do is call 833-33-MY-DOG or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The chanting is so weird, isn't it? And they never get out of breath. Anyway, that's a bunch of turbo freak communists occupying Kevin McCarthy's office yesterday. I wonder I wonder if those people are all going to get 4 years in the clink. Joining me now, Ed Martin. He's an attorney for the January 6th political prisoners in this country with the Patriot Freedom Project board member. Ed, that sure seems like a dangerous insurrection, buddy.
Yeah, look, I mean, if we were operating like the communists that are running the Department of Justice are, we were in charge, you could charge those people with 20-year felonies. I mean, that's disruption of official proceeding, which is the made-up charge that the DOJ did to these people that walked through. You know, they should be charged with trespass, vandalism, being ugly, wearing ugly T-shirts, and not looking good in a public place, but also 20-year felony. That's what they're doing. Look, it's insane what's happening, Jesse, but it's happening before our eyes. And, you know, to say it's hypocritical, hypocrisy is not a distinguishing characteristic in politics. All these jerks on both sides do it. When the law does it, when the law puts people away for 22 years, 11 years, 5 years for stuff that's just not a conduct that should be punished, we got a breaking down of our system.
Why did Richard Barnett get sent to federal prison for 4 years? What dastardly crime did he commit?
Well, there's a couple of things there. One is that the positioning of all of these actors was, as you know, they first called it an insurrection, and then they called it basically terrorism. Very few people realize, Jesse, the reason that they were able to hold over 100 prisoners in the DC gulag for this extended period of time was they had to call them like Osama bin Laden. They had to say, you guys were doing an insurrection. And as you point out, the picture that's on the screen, this guy trespassed. I mean, at the Jets football game the other night, I'm sure after it was over, half the Jets fans, and it was only the women, broke a window or punched something. That's just what you do. This is just vandalism. This is stupidity. And yet, because they called it an insurrection, and the media and the judges, the legal system went along with it, they said, oh, we got to really make a point here. It's terrorism. It's insurrection. Of course, he wasn't convicted for that, but they just rung him up. And again, it's bad enough that it's happening. The fact that it's happening and more, this is one thing, Jesse, more people, men and women of the bar, aren't saying that's not our legal system should really worry you, because usually the members of the bar, both parties, both sides will say, hey, we got some limits to this system. The system is breaking right before our eyes.
Yeah, the system is broken. Tell people who Owen Schroyer is and what happened to him.
Yeah, this is really chilling. Owen Schroyer is a guy who's a journalist. And, you know, you can say what you want about Alex Jones. Alex is kind of a performer, but Alex, of course, has done a lot of reporting. Owen Schroyer is actually a reporter. And so he's in front of the Capitol and he's speaking. I mean, purely speech. He's not even inciting. He's speaking. They never said he really incited. But the fact is that they used his presence to say, again, that January 6th was this insurrection and all. And he got months in jail. I think he ended up getting less than they were threatening. But still, the idea that he's purely a political prisoner, Jesse. This guy is a journalist. He's a reporter. He's a young guy. And they rung him up. And they do it shamelessly again. I mean, to their credit, I often hear you say it and watch you write about it in your book. They're not ashamed of it. They do it right in front of your face. They act like this. And we sit here and say, wow, how did that happen?
They've already got 1,100 people, roughly, give or take a few. Ed, how many more are they coming after? Are these persecutions about over?
No. First of all, it's communist show trials designed to for a purpose, and the purpose is right through the next election. They have already announced that the D.C. Federal prosecutor, he's got at least 1,000 more. So I'd say anybody who was in the area, talked about it, had deep thoughts about January 6th, ought to realize that they could come for you as contributing to, again, the thought crime that happened here. So I think we'll see, and we're seeing it, by the way, the Patriot Freedom Project, which is what you mentioned, I'm a board member. All we do is raise money to help people defend themselves and help their families. And let's be honest, Jesse, you'll appreciate this. There's a lot of rich, educated people, and they get lawyers quickly, even people that showed up. Most of our clients, if you can use that term, are working guys and gals that are trying to, they don't have a mortgage to worry about. They have rent. You know, they don't have a car payment to worry about. They have to worry about the carburetor. So that's what we do at the Patriot Freedom Project. And we know, we get calls every day that they're rolling up more of these citizens. Their FBI's showing up. They're saying, we're asking questions. We'll come back. And this terror, it's actually terror, is going to go on. I believe it'll go on right through the election. People say, oh, Ed, you're being political. It's the same as the summer of rioting that was staged in 2020 to try right before the election. We're going to see the reinforcement of the message. Hey, one more detail, Jesse. Let me tell you, I was in looking at the January 6th video, and I'll preview something. I found the guys that built the gallows, that hung the noose. You know, when Bubba Wallace found a noose in his garage, the FBI was there in 20 minutes, right? Well, I found the people that built the gallows with the noose, and they're about four blocks from the FBI, and somehow the FBI hasn't been able to find them. But we're finding them by going through the video, and when the stuff breaks, it will make you laugh, because you'll say, I told you these communists were staging this stuff, but I hope it will make the American people break the spell a little bit. So we'll see.
Ed, and I love the Patriot Freedom Project. Can you explain to people who don't understand, because most people watching have not been caught up in the system or been caught up by the law, although I admit some of my viewers have. Well, how much does an attorney cost for a case like this? It's not cheap, and people don't realize what it costs a normal guy.
Yeah, even the guys that I don't get paid to be a lawyer on this. It's kind of what I do for my life. I work on these kinds of causes, but we hire the guys that are really good criminal lawyers and all. And, you know, the best ones that give the best cut rate are you have to spend $5,000 to get into the game. If you go to trial, it's likely another $10,000. And that's just, you know, now you're talking about you want to appeal something or you've got complex. We're talking about $20,000, $30,000, sometimes a lot more. And Jesse, that's another aspect of this. Again, you teach us this. I read your book. I listen to you. I watch you. They use every tool. And lawfare is not just about sending you to jail. It usually is in this case, but it's also about bankrupting you. You go and find Jeff Clark. He's spending hundreds of thousands of dollars defending himself. Michael Caputo had a tweet. He said, I was a witness to the Russia hoax and I spent $300,000. These other people are going to spend 19 co-conspirators unindicted having to spend their time. But back to your point, my guys in this Patriot Freedom Project are working guys. These are not the guys that have law degrees, and they're having to worry about their kids, you know, health insurance. In one case, we got tutors for a kid that has dyslexia, and their wives are working a second job. This is the worst thing we can do to regular America, and sit around and think the system's working. And I got to tell you, you maybe are right. I like to say it's breaking, but you're probably right. It's broken. And so we're doing our part to try to fight back. But I'm glad to have a chance to talk about it so clearly.
Ed, one thing that has bothered me, it's been bothering me for years, is how many people have forgotten about these January 6th people, or they decided to start caring right about the time the presidential campaign ramped up. But we've been speaking about these people since January 7th. Most of the country simply doesn't care, Ed, and I do not understand why they don't see that this is a preview of what's coming.
Well, I agree with you, Jesse. And then one of the reasons I've spent so much time, and I just mentioned looking at video, is because I believe if we don't break the spell and break this hoax, we really do lose the country. So I'm with you, and I can't. My answer to you on how they've forgotten and why they're not paying attention is what I call the narrative machine. The narrative machine is big government, big tech, and big media working together to lie to the people. And so they move on and they don't tell the story. If I told you the story of these guys that are in jail, they're veterans, they're heroes, they're working class guys, they're like all the American thing. You'd think the journalists would want to cover them, right? And they're gone. And just today, Cynthia Hughes, who founded the Patriot Freedom Project, was saying to me, we're going to be in St. Louis this coming weekend, and we got some of the guys there, defendants, and one guy that already served, trying to tell their stories. Because when you humanize it and tell the story, as you know, being a storyteller, sometimes you tell me the principles, I don't know, tell me who went through it, and it makes a difference. So I'm hoping we can tell more of the stories like we're doing here. But I'll tell you, the narrative machine, Jesse, the propaganda push, it's very difficult. They make these men, mostly men, of course, seem like animals when most of them were actually sort of sightseers. They weren't even good rioters. So it's a really rotten system right now.
How do people support them if they want? These guys need help. How do they support them?
Yeah, patriotfreedomproject.com. I can assure you, I go through it. I'm on the board, and we use our stuff to help those guys and help their families. Actually, Jesse, we're a little different. We don't shy away from people that have the real fights where they did something wrong. If you hit a cop, I can't condone it, but you still are caught up in what I think was a staged operation. So we help everybody, and we're not embarrassed or ashamed on that. Patriotfreedomproject.com. Every little bit helps. We're going into a Christmas drive where we'll help some of of our families have Christmas and Thanksgiving even. So, and we're ramping up on appeal. We do think some of our appellate courts and even the Supreme Court will have the ability to look at what, again, Jesse, one more detail for a second. What happened? I told you the narrative machine. When big government in the form of Liz Cheney and Benny Thompson and their select committee run a $20 million op to lie about what happened, and then the courts here bite into the same thing and do it, you know what you get, and that's a jury. That's not a jury of your peers. It's a jury that's already been told what happened. So we're fighting up on appeals, trying to get some of these cases out of that system to try to get guys a better sentence and all. But it's a real battle. So PatriotFreedomProject.com, and help us humanize these guys so we can keep going forward. One thing, I'm doing all this also because I hope to God we get a Republican president, and whoever he, she, or it is, I will make the case to pardon these people. This is got to happen. If we don't do that, we're talking real, real suffering that I can't stand to even think about. So that's another part of this.
Yeah, man. Thank you for what you do, brother. Keep going.
Thanks, Jesse. Great to be on your program.
You bet. All right. Let's talk to a congressman next about all this impeachment inquiry stuff. Where are we going with all that? Before we talk to him, you should understand something. You should understand that this whole inflation, CPI, wages, all these numbers that are coming out, it's not just that they're bad. There's no off-ramp the way it looks right now. They're not going to stop spending. They're not going to stop printing. They're not going to stop. So what do we do? Well, you don't have to take my word for it. I would suggest you do what nation states around the world are doing right now. You know what they're doing? You know what, like, China's doing? You know what they're doing? Buying gold. Go look it up. Mass amounts of gold. Why would the nation states around the world be snatching up precious metals? Because no matter what happens with this inflation bubble and stock market currency and all these things, precious metals always have incredible value. You need some in your physical possession. Oxford Gold will mail them to your front door. They're totally laid back about it, but you've got to have gold or silver. I don't care which one, something in your physical possession, and get it in your IRA too, or 401k, so you don't lose all your retirement. All right? 833-995-GOLD. Tell them I told you to call. We'll be back.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
I think the impeachment inquiry is absurd. The American people want us to do something that will make their lives better, not go off on these chases and witch hunts.
An impeachment is a serious thing, and it will just bring down this institution even further if this is the road they go down.
House Democrats will defend President Biden today. We will defend President Biden tomorrow. We will defend President Biden next week. We will defend President Biden next month. We will defend President Biden next year. We will defend President Biden until the very end.
Akeem Jeffries doing the absolute lamest Winston Churchill impression I've ever seen in my life. We will fight on the beaches. Joining me now is someone who probably knows a little something about that, Congressman Greg Stube of the great state of Florida. Also, he's on the Judiciary Committee. He's on the Ways and Means Committee. All right, Congressman, you've been calling for an impeachment for quite some time, a long time before it was cool. An inquiry is finally here. You happy? Are you annoyed? How is all this thing going?
No, I'm very happy that they're moving forward with this. And obviously, this gives us some powers to move forward on actually getting the financial information from Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, which they haven't done previously. So I certainly support that. I wish we'd have started this months ago, but obviously I'm happy that we're where we're at. I'm looking forward to the committees getting all this additional information. I think we have plenty to move forward with an impeachment inquiry. It's funny to hear the clips of the Democrats talking about the types of things about how serious impeachment is when I sat through two impeachments of Donald Trump, and the first impeachment was simply for a phone call that he made to a foreign leader. And you have all these crimes and corruption and millions of dollars that the Biden crime family have received from foreign entities, and to sit back and not do anything about it, I think is a travesty of justice, and it is our duty as members of Congress to move this forward.
What should we be looking for, the normal person who doesn't understand procedurally where we go from here? Where do we go from here? Is there a big vote? Is this in committee? Is this the actual impeachment? Where do we go from here?
So the Judiciary Committee under the Constitution is tasked with impeachment proceedings. McCarthy has opened up an impeachment inquiry, which gives additional powers to the chairman for subpoena and that sort of thing. So I think you're going to see James Comer and the Oversight Committee continue to do that work. Jim Jordan and the Judiciary continue to do that work. Once they have done all of those things, and I am expecting that when they request the financial information of both Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, that there'll be lawsuits there to try to prevent us from getting that information, then the proceedings will move to the Judiciary Committee, where there will be a vote in committee before it's brought to the floor.
Okay. Now, obviously, this is something, I'm not naive, I know you're not either. This is something that's going to die a very quick death in the Senate, but it is still necessary because Joe Biden is a criminal. People keep talking about Hunter Biden being the criminal. Joe Biden's the criminal. Hunter Biden works for Joe. These are Joe Biden's crimes. Hunter doesn't have any influence to sell. He's an idiot.
Yeah, and what's interesting is you've seen how the Democrats have changed their talking points. First, Hunter Biden's laptop is Russian disinformation. None of this stuff was true. And now it's, we don't have any direct evidence of Joe Biden taking money. Well, you don't need to have direct evidence. If my son or my brother was taking millions of dollars for me to do certain actions as a member of Congress, that's bribery, that's corruption, that is a violation of federal law and can be charged as such. And because he's a sitting president, he can't be charged with a crime, but he certainly is not prevented from us moving forward on impeachment. And it's pretty ridiculous to think that my family or anybody's family, Joe Biden's family, could rake in $20 million in all these shell companies and siphon all this money out for things that he did as president, some of which is on video, firing the prosecutor in Ukraine for Burisma, having dinner with Ukraine or with Russian oligarchs, all of this that was paid to Hunter. You can't tell me that there wasn't actions that he took because of the millions of dollars his family was getting. It doesn't matter that he doesn't directly get money. And if we get his financial information, I would be shocked if you don't see the money that went to the LLCs that then went to Hunter, that Hunter paid some of the big guy's expenses with that.
What's your take on McCarthy so far? Every friend I have in Congress, they're all their opinions run the gamut. Some people love him. Some people think he's the biggest idiot in the world. Some people would still want to wait and see approach. How's he doing?
Well, I'm very happy that he moved forward with the impeachment inquiry. I had thought, based on his comments a couple of weeks ago, that he was going to kind of put the brakes on that for a while. So I'm very happy that he moved forward with that. He seems to obviously be on defense mode as the Freedom Caucus makes demands. He's obviously attuned to that. Like, as we sit here today, we were supposed to have votes on the appropriations bill for defense spending, and that's kind of gotten railroaded because of some of the things that the Freedom Caucus has said they have not gotten that he has committed to them. So I'm happy with the fact that he's started the impeachment inquiry. I think he's obviously trying to deal with moderates in the party and then your more conservative folks like myself. And we'll see how the next couple of weeks go with the spending fight. I mean, the government's going to shut down on October 1st if something doesn't get passed.
Is something going to get passed?
I don't know. I mean, talk now is about a CR. I will not support a CR. I've voted against every single one since I've been in Congress. I think we need spending cuts. I think we should send a conservative agenda and spending cuts to the Senate and let them tell the American people, no, we want to continue to spend and increase inflation, drop trillions of dollars on our economy. That's not the answer for the American people. So I think we should send them conservative solutions to those problems. But shepherding the left side of moderate Republicans to more conservative Republicans when you only have a 3-4 vote majority is very challenging.
Yeah. Just a reminder to everybody, every one of those losers in the GOP is up for a primary this election season. Congressman, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, good to see you.
535 members of Congress, 435 members in the House of Representatives. Let's just focus on the House of Representatives. Every single one of them is up for re-election every 2 years, meaning that low-T GOP loser in your district you vote for every time, you should be primarying him instead. You, or supporting someone who is, because of things like this, like we just talked about. All right, enough. We're moving on. Let's talk about inflation and CPI numbers and all these nerd things. Why do I care? Before we get to that, let's talk about something else we need to send them. We need to send them a conservative agenda. We also need to send them male vitality stacks. They need male vitality stacks from Chalk. Natural herbal supplements. I don't want to harm them. I want to do them well. So I'm not sending them big pharma crap. I want every member of the GOP to get on a male vitality stack because they all need testosterone, all of them. 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days. It's not just for you. It's not just so you can have more energy and feel better in your mind and work better. It's so members of the low-T GOP can finally reach down and find them and vote the right way and stand for something. Wouldn't that be amazing? Chalk.com. They get the same discount you get. 35% off subscriptions. Get a subscription so they send it to you automatically and don't pay full price like a sucker. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse gets you 35% off subscriptions. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
That was the inflation number we got today. High, I know, higher than what we want. Obviously, much higher than the 2% the Fed is supposedly aiming for. How are we supposed to take all this? CPI doesn't look good. Inflation doesn't look good. Let's ask Peter Schiff. He's the one who called the 2008 financial crisis before it got here. Peter, okay, inflation doesn't look good. None of this really looks good. Interest rates obviously going to have to go back up, I would assume. What's your take on all this?
Well, first of all, I also called all the inflation that we're experiencing, and it actually has its origins to the 2008 financial crisis, because what the government did in response to that crisis, QE1, QE2, QE3, all of that, plus, you know, what we did during COVID, that is the source of all this inflation. And it's going to continue to get worse as long as we continue to run these massive deficits. We're running a $2 trillion a year and rising debt. And this is going to lead to much higher inflation in the future than what we've experienced in the past. And I think that the decline in the CPI is over. We bottomed out 2 months ago at 3% year over year. Now we're at 3.7% and rising. And I think inflation is going to be a much bigger problem in 2024 than it was in 2023.
Okay, Peter, my issue with all this, well, I have many issues with all this, is it seems like it's an inevitable death spiral because they're not going to stop spending. None of these idiots, Republicans or Democrats, can stop spending. So they're going to keep printing money. They're going to keep spending money. So inflation keeps going up and CPI keeps getting worse. And that means interest rates. Now, am I getting anything wrong here? How does this turn around?
No. And in fact, the spiral actually is worse because the increasing interest rates actually contribute to the rise in the CPI, because interest rates are a price. And it's a very important price for a lot of companies, just like labor and rents and raw materials. Companies borrow money to conduct their business, to make capital investments, to expand. A lot of these companies have taken on debt over the years, And now the cost of servicing that debt has risen sharply. I think it will continue to rise. And so businesses need to pass on these higher interest rates to their customers in the form of higher consumer prices. So every time the Fed raises rates, it puts more upward pressure on the CPI.
And people make less money. We know now the household income fell by 2.3% in 2022. That's the lowest since 2010. So not only is everything more expensive, people are making less. So Peter, how does this end? Well, how does this story end? Let's assume they're not going to change their behavior. That's a very safe assumption. What does this bubble pop look like when it comes? Is it going to be like 2008?
Well, you know, the story is going to have a tragic ending, unfortunately. We're going to have a dollar crisis and a sovereign debt crisis. The Fed is going to print money until the dollar collapses. And I think that that day of reckoning is at hand. I mean, I don't know that it's tomorrow, but it's coming sometime soon. Because you can already see the world is trying to divest itself of the dollar. There's a big movement to look for alternatives to the U.S. dollar. And they're there, and that's happening. And we've been able to get away with creating all this inflation because we've been able to export our inflation to our trading partners who have replaced the money we print with the goods that they produce. And that's kept a lid on and consumer prices. But as our trading partners move away from the dollar is going to fall very fast. Prices are going to rise much faster than they have been. And at some point, it's going to spiral out of control, especially the debt, because we have so much debt. And as the interest on that debt really rises, then it puts even more pressure on the Fed to print even more money, to buy more bonds, to put some kind of cap on how high interest rates go. And it just accelerates the cycle, because what's driving everybody out of dollars and out of bonds is inflation. And if the Fed has to create even more inflation to stop interest rates from rising, it just creates an even more powerful incentive for everybody that owns treasuries or any dollar-denominated debt to sell it. And then it pushes down the price, rates go up, the Fed has to print more money, and it ends in a currency crisis. That's where we're headed.
Peter, can you explain, you mentioned the alternative to the dollar, and you obviously just broke down a little bit what that would mean for us. This BRICS movement, it's the biggest one that at least I know of right now, this alternative to the dollar. How far away are they? I understand this coalition of countries is no joke. Obviously, China, India, Brazil's got a big boy economy. But how close are they to making this BRICS thing a reality?
Well, I don't know how close they are to the actual launch of some kind of new currency that would likely be backed by gold. But ultimately, gold is the biggest threat to the dollar. That's what's going to replace the dollar as the primary monetary reserve asset. The dollar replaced gold. And so gold is just going to, take back that mantle. And in fact, the main reason that the dollar was able to supplant gold was because it was backed by gold. It was redeemable in gold. So the world accepted dollars because they were as good as gold. Well, that's not the case anymore. That hasn't been true for over 50 years. The dollar is just a piece of paper. And so I think the world is going to go back to real money as the basis for the monetary system. And all of these fiat currencies will be legitimate currencies again because they will be backed by real money, which will be gold. And that's going to level the playing field, but it's going to be very difficult for the United States because we have grown accustomed to the role as the creator of the world's reserve currency. That's what enabled us to live beyond our means for all these decades. It's what enabled these huge trade deficits. It allowed our economy to evolve in the way that it did so that we have this consumer-based spending economy that can't really survive without the rest of the world propping it up. And that's what's going to stop. The world is not going to prop it up anymore because it's going to move beyond the dollar. And this whole artificial economy that has been built on that foundation is going to come collapsing down. And we're going to have to reinvent our economy from the bottom up. We're going to have to go back to saving and producing. And if we want to consume, we got to produce something. If we want to borrow money, some other American is going to have to save it. We're not going to be able to rely on the rest of the world to produce the stuff that we consume and save the money that we borrow.
Peter, historically, is there some country we can look at who went through what you're describing right now so we can have some understanding of the tough times we have coming for us? Because you make it sound like we've got zombies coming over the walls.
Yeah, well, you could look at some of the experiences in Argentina. They've had serious inflations, devaluations. They've had to deal with it. I mean, you could look at, you know, examples like Zimbabwe, what happened to their currency, or in our hemisphere, Venezuela. You can see what's happened there. You know, if you want to crack open your history books, you can go back to Weimar Republic Germany and see what happened there with the Reichsmark. I mean, there are countries that have experienced it. You can go back even further to France with the assignats, you know, and the popping of the Mississippi bubble. I mean, you can go back in time and look at historically how nations have dealt with runaway inflation, hyperinflation, but it all starts the same way. It's debt. Governments build up tremendous amounts of debt. You know, in the case of Germany, it was because of reparations from World War I. But we built up this debt paying Social Security, Medicare, national defense, you know, all these things that we've spent money on over the years, over the decades. We've borrowed. We haven't collected enough taxes from Americans to pay for the spending. And so we've built this $33 trillion debt mountain. And that's just the tip of the mountain, because there's a lot of debt that is unfunded that we still are obligated to pay. Again, Social Security, Medicare, guaranteed pensions, bank accounts, student loans, brokerage accounts. The U.S. government has co-signed a lot of liabilities. And when you add that all together, you're talking about hundreds of trillions of dollars. It is completely unpayable. And historically, the way governments get out of this situation is through inflation. They just print away the value of their liabilities, but they destroy everybody's savings and everybody's, you know, paper assets and their wages in the process.
Yeah. Peter, thank you so much. Come back soon, sir.
All right. My pleasure.
We got a light in the mood coming. Before we get to light in the mood, let's save you some money before these people finish up devaluing all of it. You see, Eden Pure Thunderstorm, I owe them a debt of gratitude is what I do. Because you know, everybody knows I hate medications. I despise them. Even over-the-counter stuff. Ibuprofen, I hate taking it. I'll take one, but I just don't like it. I hated taking allergy medication, just over-the-counter stuff. But three decades, I had allergies. I don't take anything anymore. I don't even own anything. One of the great days was a couple years ago, I got to take that bottle of over-the-counter allergy medication and throw it in the trash because of Eden Pure Thunderstorm. Just this little air purifier. I own 9 of them. Pick a room, your bedroom, living room, kitchen, wherever people sleep, live. Plug in an Eden Pure Thunderstorm. You don't even have to take my word for it. You'll be able to smell it. You'll be able to taste it in the air. That's how much your air is about to be scrubbed. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse, buy one, get one free. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse, go get you a couple. We'll be back.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's time to lighten the mood. And you know what lightens my mood, what brightens my mood? One, athletic achievement. I enjoy watching it. That's why I watch the hot dog eating contest every year. Two, people taking care of our troops. Supporting the troops, which I always love. So this video combines both things.
Well, that's got a shot.
That's a nice throw. I'll see you tomorrow.